Does the controlling intelligence believe that there is any intelligent, eternal disorganized spirit distinct from man? Answer. I believe that without the agency of matter in some state, spirit could not express itself. Therefore, I believe that spirit and matter will ever be so thoroughly wedded together that they will never be separated. If spirit is dependent upon matter for expression, matter then is of as great a necessity as spirit. Spirit passes through the realm of matter, changing its forms, and carrying it from one state to another, higher and still higher in the scale, but at the same time it progresses in its external characteristics in correspondence with the progression of matter. I believe there is an eternal, ever-existent ocean of spirit, but I believe that that ocean of spirit is dependent upon matter for expression. I believe that the two are inseparably connected together. I believe that although you may soar to the highest spheres that we have any knowledge of in spirit life, even there you will find matter. Question. Does not this go to prove that matter is self-created? If spirit is dependent upon matter, cannot act in the absence of matter, is not matter self-created? Answer. When considered from one standpoint, it would seem so. But when considered from another, it would seem quite different. Remove spirit from matter, and it becomes inert. Connect spirit with matter, and it becomes full of life. Now may we not say, and truthfully, too, that matter is self-creating only by the agency of spirit? As absolute matter it is not self-creating, not when joined to spirit it is. Question. Will the time ever come when this earth will lose its material body, and become exclusively the abode of spiritual intelligences? Answer. The time will certainly come when it will lose the material body that belongs to it at the present time. This is a self-evident truth. It is exhibited everywhere in life. But we have no special evidence that the earth will ever become, as an earth, the special dwelling place of disembodied spirits. It may be so. We do not know that it will not. But we have no special evidence that it will be so. It is even now the dwelling place of millions of disembodied spirits. They walk the air, both when you wake and when you sleep. Therefore to them it is a spirit home. It belongs to them just as much as it does to you. By Theodore Parker, December 3, 1867. Question. Will the intelligence explain this passage, Luke 24:19, Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. If it was a spirit body, why did he say he had flesh and bones? And why did he eat? Answer. Concerning this particular case, we have no positive knowledge, for that is born only of one's experience, but judging from analogy, we suppose that if Christ had passed through the change called death, and if he was, after passing through that change, a dweller within a sufficiently condensed body as to be able to meet the senses of humanity, we are to suppose that that body was formed of material particles, and these were drawn from media mystic bodies and the atmosphere. The same has been done in your day, is being done all over the land, and it is vain for the skeptic to cry out, I do not believe it, vain, so far as staying the light is concerned, for it will continue to roll on till all the darkness is dispersed. I suppose this body that the disciples handled, this body that he was said to have, was composed of flesh, and blood, and bones, was a material body, formed for the occasion, as I have before said, out of the atmosphere, and some media mystic body or bodies. I do not believe in the resurrection of the body of Jesus after death, the material, natural body. Science gives that theory the lie. It is in no sense true. We are told that everything is possible with God, but we know that God acts by eternal, immutable law, and we know he never tramples upon that law. It is always the same. Now, then, if Jesus had passed through the change called death, there was an entire and distinct separation between himself spiritual and himself natural. Therefore, if he had such a body as could be handled, recognized by humanity, it was a body formed for the occasion. Mr. White. Do you not suppose his disciples were very strongly mediumistic, as well as himself? Answer. I believe they were. In fact, I have very strong evidence towards knowledge in that matter. Mr. White. Would not their being in harmony so long on the earth give him greater power to make a body to show to them? Answer. Yes, and in all probability if the harmony between the disciples had not been broken by the unfaithfulness of one of their number, Jesus would never have been crucified. You would never have had a Calvary in the Christian religion, you would never have had a Savior in Jesus of Nazareth. But one was unfaithful, and betrayed his master, and what followed you all know, or, at least, you know what the record tells you. By and by you will learn much more concerning that. Question. The progress and happiness of society in the world, in all ages, have been impeded and marred by bad men, monsters, I would say, from the unprincipled politicians in our midst to kings, emperors, popes, and see. Now, I desire to know if those frauds on mankind still hold their influence in the spiritual world? Answer. To a certain extent they do. You should consider that all that this life has produced, all that belongs to it, either natural or spiritual, is in the imperfect state consequent upon the imperfect state of the earth. It has not yet arrived at that point of perfection by which it can sustain good men entire, or good women entire. There are poisonous plants everywhere upon the surface of the earth, and there are poisonous theories everywhere. There is spiritual poison, as there is material poison, and both, I believe, are legitimate children of this planet, the earth. Now, then, as the earth grows, becomes more perfect, more spiritually unfolded, and more naturally unfolded, it will give you a higher type, not only in the vegetable, mineral, and animal, but in the spiritual. But all these things come by slow degrees. The world was not made in 6 days by any means. Man was not created in the twinkling of an eye, but thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions of years rolled away ere thought was born. Now you have just as good a class of men and women upon the earth can take care of. Be satisfied, work on, as the earth works on. The earth does not complain. It performs its mission, and I am very much inclined to think you will all perform yours, whether you desire to or not. Question. Will not this world receive, ere long, some astounding intelligence from the spiritual world? Will not the gates of the spiritual world be opened, so that we shall have a flood of light that shall sweep away darkness, superstition, priests, popes, and see, in one general ruin? Answer. That very thing is being done as fast as there is any necessity for its being done. You are receiving today all the light you can bear, all you are ready for. The spirit world has, indeed, a great ocean of light, in the shape of truths that are new to you, to bestow upon you when you are ready to receive them. Milk for babes, meat for mature age. Question. Would it not be better for spiritualists to organize, I mean, the spiritualists of this world and the spiritual, on some grand or universal platform? Such a thing could be done without being sectarian. Answer. Yes, it would be better, in my opinion, and in my opinion it will be done. Question. Is there not organized, in the spirit world, a congress to control and direct the great spiritual movements in the earth life? Answer. There is such a group of spirits as your correspondent refers to, but they do not control the affairs of earth life, not by any means. They only exert as much influence over those affairs as they are able to, by and through the instruments that they find on the earth. Sometimes, although they may desire to influence largely in certain directions, they may be prohibited from doing so, because of the want of some instrument through whom to manifest. Sometimes the atmosphere is against them, sometimes the soil. Different localities produce different thoughts, as well as different material influences. By Theodore Parker, December 5, 1867. Question. Does not modern spiritualism make larger drafts upon credulity than paganism or Christianity? Answer. Hardly, hardly. It is a very large draft upon credulity to believe the fable of Jonah and the whale, very large indeed. It is also a very large draft upon credulity to believe that a woman could conceive and bear a child by being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. It is altogether out of the course of nature, and whoever believe it stretch their credulity to the very last extent. Spiritualism comes in plain attire. A little child can read it. If the mother comes to the little child knows the mother. You cannot deceive the child. And so it is with pure, simple, God spiritualism. There is no superstition in it, and the credulity of a child need not be taxed. Question. Is not the resurrection of Jesus Christ as well authenticated, and by the same witnesses that confirm his death? Answer. No, absolutely, no. We know, by nature, that if he ever lived, he died. We know also, by nature, that if he ever died to the body never was resurrected again. Nature never lies, always tells the truth. You cannot force nature into a lie. You may seem to, but it is only in seeming. Question. The spirit of criticism is a questioning spirit. Is there anything wrong in this, per se? Answer. Certainly not. On the contrary, something gloriously right, honest, earnest criticism should always receive attention. It is one of the great levers, I believe, through which man marches up through the various sciences of life. Criticism oftentimes informs us of our mistakes, for it causes us to look deeper into self, deeper into our surroundings. It causes us to turn critics upon self, and therefore it is of the greatest possible service to us. Why? The world would be good for nothing without criticism. When I was here on earth, I was never satisfied when the voice of criticism was silenced towards me. I always felt that my effort had been so small that it was not worthy of criticism. But when it was most severely criticized, I felt that I had agitated the waters, out of which some good would come. By Theodore Parker, December 9, 1867. Question. In controlling this medium, do you possess the body, as the spirit of the medium possesses it in her normal condition? Answer. No, that is not necessary. I surround the body. I obsess it as the musical performer obsesses the musical instrument. The instrument gives forth no sound unless the musician is there, and playing upon the instrument. So with regard to this control, I surround the subject. And in surrounding her, I create an atmosphere peculiar to myself, which is in nearly all respects unlike her own. Therefore, she finding it not at all in natural harmony with her, generally retires, goes forth into the outer spirit world, and becomes cognizant of scenes in that world. Sometimes it becomes necessary to become thoroughly absorbed in the body. Then the mental atmosphere is created within, and not without. I act then from within. But in this case I act as the musician would act upon the instrument. I surround the entire body. It is under my perfect control. This was at page 102. Question. Then if the spirit of the medium does leave the body entirely, how long a time elapses that the body is devoid of spirit? Answer. It may be devoid of intelligence, or conscious existence, for a second. Hardly more. All things are so nicely arranged that there will be no intermediate time, or scarcely any, perhaps like the passing of a breath, but nothing more. I want you to distinctly understand that the animal life that is in activity belongs entirely to the animal form. That is distinct from intelligence. All the animal functions may be performed perfectly and harmoniously when there is no intelligence. Of that you are well aware. But I am speaking now with regard to the amount of time that will pass by the spirit here in unconsciousness. I say it may be like a passing breath, but a second of time. Question. Then could you not, if you chose, retain control of this body, and thus prevent the spirit of the medium from returning to it? Answer. I certainly could. Question. Have spirits a fixed size? Does each spirit have its own peculiar form of organization, or are they all alike? Answer. Every spirit possesses its own peculiar form of organization, its own peculiar stature. They are not all alike. You find here the child and the mature form. You find the tall man and the short man, all the different characteristics of form as well as of mind. Question. How would the spirit of a tall man possess the form of a little child? Answer. Generally by acting upon it, by surrounding it as I do today surround this medium, or perhaps by influencing one or two organs. It is not always necessary to influence the entire organic system. I generally do, but it is not always a necessity. Question. Then can a large person take control of the body of a small medium? Answer. I did not intend you to so understand me. If a little child is sufficiently mediumistic to admit of my control, I can control the child as I can the adult, only I cannot give the same amount of intelligence through the child, because the organs are not fully grown. You cannot play the same tune, or rather you cannot give the same amount of power through the flute as through the organ, yet both are music. You may play home, sweet home upon both, but there is a difference in capacity. By Reverend Joseph Lowenthal, December 10, 1867. Question. What is the history of the institution of the Sabbath? How should it be passed, irrespective of sectarian prejudice? Answer. During my earthly life I believed in the religious observance of the Jewish Sabbath. It was a part, and a very great part of my religion. But since I have ascended from earth to the spirit land, I have learned that God has sanctified and made holy all days, and that he requires absolute service and divine worship at the hands and hearts of all his children every day in the week. I have evidence which causes me to believe that the observance of the Sabbath, both Jewish and Christian, originated with those heathen worshippers whose religious history dates very far back in the past. It belongs to those who look to the heavens, and behold there the only true representation of deity, and finding the only true representation of deity, that is, to their conception, in the heavens, they worship their deity in all sincerity and truth, in accordance with their belief. So, according to my belief, the Jews and the Gentiles have received these Sabbath ordinances from those whom both Jews and Gentiles denounce as heathen and idolaters. You have much to learn concerning worship, and it may be that idol after idol will be dashed to the ground by the unerring hand of truth, in your case as they have been in mine. Question. What is the distance of the second sphere from the earth? Answer. The second sphere, so called, is the sphere of mind, that can act independently of flesh and blood and bones. It is the sphere where the mind can exhibit a larger degree of power than while attached to mortality, and that second sphere is by no means any particular locality. It may be here in your midst, and it may be 10,000 miles away. Some theorists have determined that the second sphere is a belt, which is about 60 miles beyond the Earth's atmosphere. They tell us that it measures so and so. They tell us what its atmosphere is, but for my own part one have no evidence that the second sphere exists there any more than here. The mind becomes to a larger extent free after death, and in its second sphere of action it may take up its abode 60 miles from the atmosphere of the Earth and still be in the second sphere, or it may dwell here among its kindred on Earth, and still be in the second sphere. Special localities belong more to the things of time or material life than to spiritual life. You will all learn this when you pass out of the mortal, and become more free in the spirit. This was at page 105. By Theodore Parker, December 12, 1867. Question. It was recently declared, at a public meeting, that Theodore Parker, when in earth life, was an opponent of the spiritual philosophy, whereas his writings are strongly tinctured therewith. What is the truth in the matter? Answer. Theodore Parker, in the external, opposed modern spiritualism, but in the internal he did not oppose it. There was a something within me which said, in plain, unmistakable terms, there is a great truth in modern spiritualism, but I could not accept the external manifestations. I saw so much of chaff mixed up with what little good there really might have been, that I was not ready to accept any in my external reasoning. Nevertheless, as I before remarked, in the internal I was a believer in spiritualism, ancient and modern. Those who knew me best know that I often remarked that I believed there was a very great truth, a wondrous philosophy, underlying these crude manifestations. And I also believed that the world was not ready for such an exhibition of spirit power. But I have learned many things since I passed beyond this human life. I have learned that God does not deal with his children according to their caprices. I have learned that nature and mind will march steadily on through the infinite law of progress, whether we will or no, and we may denounce the manifestations of mind and matter as much as we may, it is all the same. It will snow, whether we will it or not. The sun will shine, whether it scorches us or not, and so it is with regard to the manifestations of mind. Mind is free, and it will run on through the infinite law of progress just according to the law. We cannot change the law. We have not there slightest power over it. So these spiritual demonstrations I believe to be the result of law, infinite law, and that law does not only pertain to mind but to matter. It belongs to the growth of the earth as well as to the growth of mind. It is an exhibition of both mind and matter, and we can no more control it than we can control the sunlight. We may shut it out from our own reasoning powers for a time, but it will shine on all the same, and its power will be precisely the same, whether we close our senses to it or the contrary. By Theodore Parker, December 16, 1867. Question. Can different individuals on earth be influenced by the same person or power in the spirit land at one and the same time? Answer. Yes, for instance, I can, through the power of psychology, psychologize any number of susceptible bodies at the same time. I can psychologize them upon one special point, or I can vary with them as I see fit. Question. In the same way that the mesmerizer operates upon his subjects? Answer. Precisely, only to a larger extent. A disembodied spirit has more power than one in the body, first, because they have a larger understanding of the laws controlling in the case, secondly, they are free from bodily diseases, and through the atmosphere and through the peculiar condition of the sensitive subject, can come in more direct and positive rapport with them than they could by any possibility do through the flesh. Question. What constitutes a person a medium? Answer. A medium is simply a body that is sensitive to the ad forces in the universe, forces which you do not thoroughly understand, those that have not come within 107 the sphere of human science, those with which human science has not yet dealt. A medium possesses a peculiar quality of magnetism and electricity. The nervous system is generally very finely attuned, and it is constantly receiving from the external world, and as constantly throwing out. There is a peculiar atmosphere, mental and physical, surrounding every well-developed medium, and whoso can enter that atmosphere becomes at once in rapport with the medium, and whoso cannot enter it, cannot, by any possibility, come into rapport, and are shut out as virtually as if there were a wall of fire between them. Mediums are, in other words, sensitive subjects, not only to the action of mind in the body, but to mind out of the body, and particularly sensitive to mind out of the body. By Theodore Parker, December 17, 1867. Question. If the spirit of the mortal dwells outside of the body, why do not clairvoyants perceive the spirit, or double, of man before death as well as after? Answer. Certain phases or degrees of clairvoyance have reached that point in science. Certain clairvoyants are able to perceive the spirit as well as the natural body. Question. Do you mean to say the spirit is outside of the body? Answer. No, I did not say so. Question. That was the question. Answer. A short time since I answered a question relative to spirit control. I was questioned as to whether I entered the body of the medium, or whether I controlled by psychology. My answer was, that in my case, there was what I saw fit to term an overshadowing. I overshadowed the subject, and act upon it instead of acting through it. 108. This is not always the case. The spirit that belongs by nature to the body, acts through it always, but the foreign spirit, who comes to use the body as a borrowed instrument, acts quite as often upon it as through it. You may call it psychology, or distinguish it by any other term you please, it is an acting upon the instrument, giving forth my ideas from the internal to the external. I overshadow and act upon the subject to those who may constitute my audience. The control is quite as perfect, sometimes more so, indeed, I think I am better able to control in this way than by absorption. I could control in that way, but I do not think I could do as well. Do not understand me to declare that all spirits act in the same way, for they certainly do not. Question. Does the spirit of the medium still remain in the body, in the case of this overshadowing? Answer. Sometimes, not generally. The spirit generally rather retire, for there is an instinctive consciousness on the part of the indwelling spirit that there will be more or less jarring between my spirit and her own, and, in order to avoid that, she retires, taking that as the better course. Question. It was said, at a late seance in this hall, that aged people require less sleep than the younger, because of a loss of magnetic force or life. Will the intelligence inform us whether there is any remedy for this loss, or any means by which an increased magnetic force can be had? If so, what is it? How and where is it to be found? Answer. No, there is no remedy, except such as would go counter to nature. Nature has marked out her course for human life, and it is a very exact and wise course. As the body grows old, or becomes burdened by years, it parts with its magnetic life that it may the easier pass through death. Now, suppose it retained all its magnetic vitality to the last moment of its earthly life, what would be the result? Why, the most terrible struggle between the magnetic and electric forces, consequently a very hard death. See how wise and humane nature is to make the body part gradually with its magnetic forces, that it may pass easily through the change called death. And in your ignorance you ask to retain it. It would be the greatest of curses if you could. By Thomas Paine, December 24, 1867. Question. Is it positively essential to the welfare of any person whatever to return after birth to spirit life, and reassociate, through mediumship or otherwise, with mundane life? Answer. In some instances it is an essential to happiness in the spirit world, and in others it is quite the reverse. Some find the path of duty leading directly to earth, others directly away from the earth and earthly conditions. The experience of one is not the experience of any other one. All souls progress according to their own inner capacities for progressing, and according to their own external and internal law. No soul can unfold itself in exactly the same way as any other soul, being constituted differently, yet the souls of all are essentially the same. Question. Do the appetites, passions, propensities, in a word, the character, in earth life, of the individual, adhere to him when ushered into the spirit realm, and render it unavoidable that he shall, through the mediumship of those yet in the body, perfect his character? Answer. Precisely as death leaves you, so life in the spirit world finds you. You are spiritually no different after death. You have only passed through a chemical change, which has affected the body and the spirit's relationship to the body, while the spirit itself remains precisely the same. The thief is still the thief, the liar is still the liar, The murderer is still the murderer, the drunkard is still the drunkard, yet all these lower stratas of mentality the spirit can and will outgrow, pass beyond.